In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everywhere you look in the Gospel according to St. John, there's water. You can hardly turn the page without getting wet, which ought to assist you at least in recalling the waters of your holy baptism. And along with these, to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has given himself for you, in whom you have everlasting life. But what is really most interesting in our gospel this morning is how the water plays no part in the healing of the man. It is replaced by the word of Jesus. Rise. Take up your pallet and walk. And boom, that's it. Immediately, the man is made well. The water here has served its purpose, not as a means of grace, but in contrast to the arrival of the long-awaited Christ. The words of Jesus following this miraculous sign at Bethesda, both in our gospel this morning and in his discourse with the Jews afterwards, these are among the most exalted proclamations of his divinity and his relationship of unity with the Father. In this respect, these are a most important and appropriate epiphany of his glory, the glory that reaches a climax and is most clearly revealed to the eyes of faith upon the cross. Here, the glory of the cross is manifest in the merciful and saving work of Christ on the Sabbath, and in the hostile reaction of the Jews who persecute him and seek to kill him, as they will surely succeed in doing. It is by his death that he fulfills the Sabbath once and for all, and brings everlasting rest to the people of God. For it is by his death that he works his merciful salvation for the world, a salvation that is poured out for you, for your forgiveness and your healing unto life by the word of Jesus. As it is, the Greek word translated here as breaking the Sabbath really means to loose or to release, which is to say that Jesus does not break the Sabbath so much as he releases it. For as the Son of God, the Savior, his breaking of the Sabbath is the ultimate fulfilling of the Sabbath for you and your salvation. You see, the Lord God did not rest on the seventh day of creation because he was tired and needed a break. In fact, it was clear to Jewish thinkers that God himself could not really rest from all his labors, not even on the Sabbath. For his providential care of all creation continues. What is more, people die and are judged. Children are born. Life is given. God could not simply cease from his activities regardless of the day or time, or else history would come to a screeching halt. But no, he rested on the seventh day for your sake, just as he does all things out of love for you. He rested on the Sabbath to set aside and consecrate a day of rest for you and all of us. And thus he showed beyond all doubt that the world continues and survives just fine without your help. The sun will come up tomorrow by his good and gracious will and by his divine power, not yours. And so also will your life continue by his divine providence, not by your human efforts or striving. The meaning of the Sabbath is precisely here. The Lord God works, but you do not. For life itself and all of creation is a matter of his works, not yours. So as the Son of God, Jesus breaks the Sabbath, not in the sense that he can do whatever he wants and get away with it, nor even in the sense that he, as God, is above the law, for he was born under the law to redeem you. And he voluntarily submitted himself to all of its demands, as well as its punishments for your sin. But he breaks the Sabbath as the fulfillment of the Sabbath, because as the Son of God, as your Savior, he must work in order for you to live and to rest, because he is your Sabbath rest. So it is that all of the Old Testament Sabbath laws are fulfilled and thus replaced by that holy Sabbath which is Christ himself, crucified and risen. But now then, considering the Jewish leaders who were so concerned about the letter of the Sabbath law, we might well ask where they were when the poor man could not yet walk, when he so desperately needed a man to help him. They pay him no attention, so far as we can tell, until he has been healed and begins at last to live after 38 years. Then they are after him. What did he think he was doing? Who had given him this permission to live? Just so, as soon as a person has been raised to life in Christ, as soon as you are called from your sickness and death to faith in him, then do the questions and threatening accusations begin, luring you away from Christ to the greater sin and sickness of apostasy, that is, a return to unbelief, and to the far worse death of eternal damnation. So by his warning, sin no more, lest something worse befall you, Jesus indicates that having been healed of his physical infirmity, the man must take care not to lose sight of Jesus by returning to the old temple and the old law, but continue to live and walk in the light of this man, Jesus, who is the Christ, whose body replaces the temple, whose cross replaces the Sabbath, whose Holy Supper replaces all of the many and various Jewish feasts. And all of this remains the case for you as well. Those who are sick, that is to say, those who are sinful and unclean, deserving of nothing but present and eternal punishment, including each of you, are in need of a man to put you into the water, the new and living waters of Jesus. Thus you need a man to bring you Jesus, the preaching of his gospel, the waters of his baptism, the word of his absolution, the body and blood of his holy communion. On your own, you are impotent and unable to help yourself. You are here this morning in the temple only because others have found you and have looked upon your infirmity with mercy and compassion, have spoken the word of Jesus to you, have brought you to the washing of the water with his word. See, in this way you have been made well. In this way has Jesus come to you, through your parents perhaps, your family and friends, your teachers, and certainly through your pastors, the ministers of Christ, whoever they have been, who have spoken the word of Jesus to you in his name and stead. Rise and walk and live in him and his forgiveness. So also then do others need you to be the man or woman who will help them into the pool, who will lead them into the church, who will say to them, it is Jesus who will make you well. And oh, what a joy and a blessing it is to know that this very gospel you speak unto others is the same word of Christ that he has spoken to you. And as you rise and walk and go about your life, you are healed and forgiven. And you have your Sabbath rest in Christ through the waters of your baptism. Because those waters have been troubled and made sweet by his word and Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.